Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Good. You need to pay attention to that for the coming sermon here. There's a church in Germany that has the image of a lamb carved in stone over the entrance to it. It's there because of an incident that happened during the building of the church. The workers were putting up the steeple of the church when one of them lost his footing and he fell into the yard below. But he wasn't seriously hurt. He fell on a lamb that was grazing on the grass in the churchyard. In thankfulness, the image of a lamb was carved into stone above the door as a constant reminder. Not only was that workman saved by a lamb, but also that all of us are saved by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That carving serves as a good device to remind the churchgoers of this truth about Jesus Christ. But there are other things that work as reminders also about Christ's truth as well. We all use reminders every day for things that are important. Having a plan to remember things, that's useful, isn't it? I find it to be helpful. But sometimes there are things that we wish we could forget. Or we wish that others could forget about us. Reminds me of a story about a woman who came visiting a church. For weeks, she would come to the church, but she wouldn't sign the guest book and she wouldn't give her name to anyone. Finally, one day she called on the pastor and asked to see him. And when she sat down in his office, this is what she said. "When I was 15, I got a strange illness. No one knows what it was to this day. The doctors all said that I would die. An elder from my church came to pray for me. He told me to promise God that if I lived through the illness, I would never sin again. So I prayed that way, and I got well. So I never went back to church. For years, I didn't pray. I didn't want God to be reminded that I existed. I was afraid. I was afraid he would remember the promise that I broke. But now I know that my prayer was wrong. I know Christ has forgiven me. It's a joy to go to church again and to pray again." She realized that she had wrongly thought that making herself a better person was the price she had to pay. She thought she owed God the cost of being a person without sin. And if you want to be a better person, that's all fine, well, and good. But being a better person won't restore your broken relationship with God. Our sin is not something we can deal with on our own. You cannot accomplish a restored relationship with God, no matter how good you are, how self-empowered you become, or how far you've raised your consciousness. You can do nothing to restore your broken relationship to God. Only because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Only because of that is restoration accomplished. Now, it's true, a person can reject the gift of his victory if they wish. But doing that leaves a person still dead in their own sin, which is another way of saying leaving them in their broken relationship with God. Like the woman in the story, her relationship with God had been broken because she thought she needed to make herself a better person. It is only by grace through faith alone in Jesus' victory that his offer of a new life in him became her new life as well. And that same victory is what gives all of us new life and gives us freedom from sin and a restored relationship and a true relationship with God the Father in heaven. She learned that while she had hoped that God had forgotten about her, He hadn't. He had only forgotten about her sin. That's what the cross of Christ does. It lets God forget our sins. The Old Testament lesson today that we'll hear later refers to that. Read verse 17 with me. It says, "Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind." The former things not remembered. That's our sin. That's our sins. In the new thing that God has done in Jesus Christ, He's made it possible for Him to remember us without remembering our sin. He's made it possible for Him to remember us without remembering our sin. For us humans, however, remembering often requires, oftentimes requires help, like we talked about. Let me ask you something. This is a little bit rhetorical, but I want you to think about this. Why are you here today? Why did you get up at this time in the morning, and why did you come? What did you come here to remember? I think one of the main things about coming to church on Easter Sunday, and every Sunday for that matter, is to be reminded of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'll tell you the answer to your question. You came here today because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. It's important to be reminded of the Lord's word and His work. Up here you see the word and you see baptism and you see Holy Communion. God's work in our life. Like we said, God will not remember the former things. He will not remember our sin. But what we are to remember is the Lord's word to us. We are to remember His words. They are to be remembered. Those are the things to be remembered, and they're to be lived by as well. It's the word of Christ and believing that word that gives us all new life. It's important to be reminded of Christ's words. And again, it's why we gather together every week. And in hearing His words, we're reminded we have new life in Christ and a restored relationship with the Holy God who is our Father in heaven. It's like the reminder in the gospel lesson today. The women came to the tomb and found it open. They went inside and instead of finding the body of Jesus as they had expected to, instead there were two angels. And I love the question that they asked the women. Why do you seek the living among the dead? That's a great question. It's as though the angels don't expect the women to be in the place where the dead reside. But these women had seen Jesus die and had seen Him be put in this very tomb. The angel's question has something of the feel of something that my dad used to say to me. I can still hear his voice. "Don't you remember what I said?" When he'd asked that, I was stuck. I was stuck because if I answered that I didn't remember, well, then I was informed that was because I wasn't paying attention. So I had goofed up that way. But if I did remember, then I was in trouble because I didn't act on what I'd remembered I'd been told. Either way, I was stuck. Well, this question from the angels to these women kind of has a little bit of that feel to it, doesn't it? Being stuck. But in the gospel lesson, the angels ask the question and then mercifully tell them the only logical answer. He is not here because Christ has risen.
He has risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And then the angels remind. Again, this is all about remembering. Then the angels remind the women of both Jesus' words and where he said them. In Galilee, before heading to Jerusalem for the last time, Jesus made it clear that he would come to Jerusalem, be persecuted and killed, and then rise again after 3 days. Jesus had said this, and when the angels reminded the women of what he had said, then they too also remembered. It was after being reminded that they remembered Jesus' words. In the midst of their grief and loneliness at being separated from Jesus, they had forgotten what Jesus had told them. After all, he'd just died 3 days before on Friday. And here it was Sunday, the first day of the week. And they'd begun to settle into the reality that, in fact, Jesus was dead. They'd put out of mind what Jesus had said, which, since he was dead, that would only be natural for them to do. And that's the point to today. That's the point to remember today. What Jesus did was not merely natural. He'd been careful to tell them what was coming. But not having any experience with someone bringing themselves to life again after death, they simply missed the reality of what Jesus meant when he told them all this in Galilee. As St. Paul says today in the epistle lesson, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." They'd only had the experience of Adam, which is that all people die. But Christ brings a new thing. Christ brings new life. Jesus really meant exactly what his word said. He would rise again after being persecuted and dying. And he'd even made it clear that his death would be in such a manner that his body would be lifted up for all to see. And that's what happened on the cross. Jesus meant what he said about his death, and he meant what he said about rising to new life again. And that's why we have the question from the angels. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Don't you remember what he said? I think one of the things to take away from this is that being reminded of the truth of Jesus Christ is a good thing. Like the lamb over the door in the church in Germany, coming together for worship is a reminder of the truth that is ours in Christ Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Today, coming here helps us to be reminded of the reality of what Christ has done for us in dying and rising to life again. So, given that we are together on this glorious day, be reminded of this. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And be reminded of what's true in our own lives because of Easter. Be reminded of what Jesus' Easter triumph frees us from. Jesus frees me so that I am no longer bound by my sinful ways. Easter means that I will never again be alone in this world. Jesus' victory over sin, death, and the devil means that those things, those very things, sin, death, and the devil, can never, never again cut me off from God. Like St. Paul said in the last line of today's epistle lesson, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. In Christ and his Easter victory over death, you and I are never alone again. Like the woman in our earlier story, she finally came to understand that she wasn't alone because she knew Christ had indeed forgiven her of all her sins, even as he remembered her. Now, I want to close by giving you a suggestion that Martin Luther made that might be helpful in remembering what she learned. Luther once suggested that on the wall at the foot of a believer's bed should hang two things side by side, a cross and a person's baptismal certificate. As the Christian goes to bed at night, the last thing they see is the cross of their Savior, and the baptismal certificate by which they've been made part of the body of Christ. And as they awake in the morning, they are again reminded that they have all they need in Christ's Easter victory to go and live before God in the righteousness and purity that is theirs, that is yours, in Jesus' gift of faith to you. Remember, you are never again alone, and your sins are remembered no more. But you are remembered before God's throne of grace because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Go now and live in that remembrance, because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. We sing our next hymn.